You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Let's get spooky. You found Earth Station Boo, where horror lives, legends linger, and laughs are always waiting. Stay with us. You know you're dying to listen. And welcome to the Spooky and Kooky podcast of Earth Station Boo, where we talk all things horror. Introducing our horror holic hosties with the mosty mosties, we've got our kick-ass Karen.
Hello, my horror holics.
I am your terrifying tea, and happy Shark Week, everyone. So, let's talk about Shark Side of the Moon. Let's get spooky.
Need a break from how horrible everything is? Check out the Flopcast, where we just obsess over Brady Bunch reruns, Brat Pack movies, Duran Duran videos, Super Friends cartoons, Dynamite magazines, and much more pop culture weirdness. So persist, resist, hang in there, and join us on the Flopcast for the silliest half hour of your week. We're on the ESO Network and at flopcast.net. It'll be our little secret.
Are you a horror-holic? Then take your horror obsession beyond the podcast. Check out Earth Station Boo's merch store for killer designs to let the world know that you live for the scares. You can also join our Discord and hang out with fellow little ghouls, talk monsters, movies, and midnight madness. And if you want to support the show directly, visit our throne to keep the screams and laughs coming. Find everything in our link tree, and remember, stay spooky.
Alrighty, so we had this requested for last year's Shark Week, and it unfortunately had a miscommunication, and we weren't able to do it. But we're doing it this year because we owe it to Karen to cover this, because this was her pick. Let's just dive in. What are our initial thoughts? What was your first reaction when you heard the premise of this movie? Which I'm going to go ahead and read you guys the plot summary, because I feel like the plot summary is like top tier. I've said this to a few different people, and they're like, oh, I can't wait to watch this movie and then hear what your guys' thoughts are. So the plot of Shark Side of the Moon is, during the Cold War, the USSR developed a hyper-aggressive sharks. Unable to kill them, the Soviet military leaders launched the sharks onto the moon. Flash forward to present day, the first team of American astronauts on the moon in decades must repair a module found on the dark side of the moon, where they encounter the unkillable Russian moon sharks and must fight for their lives. That is this movie. So what were your initial thoughts?
Okay, so when I heard the title, I was like, okay, it's going to be a horror movie about sharks. Okay, we had land sharks, ghost sharks, all that type of sharks.
Sharknado. You know,
Sharknado. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is going to be a dude turning into a shark at, you know, the moonlight. Then I read it and I was like, it can't be that bad. It can't be that bad. Oh, it was bad. It was bad. Like, it was, I wouldn't say it was technically good. There were some good moments of it, but it was just bad. Like, I have this one movie that is so bad that it's good, and I hate the fact that I like it, but also love the fact that I hate it. This is like, I'm going to be just pooping on this movie all night. I mean, this is bad.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, it's, to me, it's not, it's so bad that it's good. It's just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. When you offered this movie up and I watched it, I think I even texted you going, what the fuck did you just make me watch?
Hey, in my defense, I made my sister-in-law watch it, and she was like, what the fuck, Karen? And I was like, listen,
valid.
You are a chemistry teacher, and so I just want to get your brain. She's like, number one, this will not never happen ever,
right?
So I make her watch weird crazy movies with me, and she's like, this will never happen,
and I'm okay with that.
Ever. And I'm okay with that.
You know what, I need you to record her every once in a while. Just so we can get snippets of her. But no. Is this movie entertaining?
Yeah.
It can be. Yeah, it can be. Definitely. Would I say it's a good movie? No. No, no, no. Did it have promise?
Yeah.
Overall, like, the plot, is it crazy? Absolutely. But if executed well, I could see it. I could kind of see it being somewhat good. But it was not executed well. Oh, sweet mother of God, it was not executed well. Oh, this film. Oh, this film. So the Soviets, scientists, they developed these unkillable sharks and launched them at the moon. It's definitely a setup for modern horror sci-fi, and it is unhinged. But does this film kind of do justice to how bonkers the concept is for you?
Yeah. It's right. Every single way. It's very bonkers. And I'm like, so you spent money on that, but you can spend money on this. Mm-hmm. You spent money on this, but you can spend money on that. Like, where is your budget going? Okay, first off, let's talk about the budget. All right, what's going on here? It is so ridiculous. It's redonkulous. This movie's so redonkulous. Like, I can't describe it to you people. Like, you have to watch it in order to understand what is going on with this movie.
This very much like a previous episode, Popeye, is in like the 10, it's under 100,000 for the budget. It was between 10,000 to 100,000.
But the premise, like, okay, so you have Soviet scientists trying to create killing machines to go out into the war. You're trying to make soldiers. Oh, you made them too effective. They can't die. Oh, shit, what are we going to do? We can't let them loose on the Earth. We're just going to shoot them inside the moon. Red flag number one.
Right?
That's your red flag number one. This is what you're going to get into.
Right?
You knew you saw that, you knew you were going to get to it.
Okay, so what were all the points that they lost you when it came to the story? And was there anything that actually kept you hooked?
I was in it to be in it, okay? I was like, I wasted like 15 minutes already. Might as well keep on going, you know?
And okay? This is an hour and a half, guys.
It is an hour and a half. So, okay, so red flag, you made these soldiers. You made these super soldiers, quote unquote. I can forgive that. There are some theories that Germany was about to make some super soldiers back in World War II. Okay, we'll go with that. We'll go with that fact. Yeah. Oh, you made them unkillable and you made them smart. Mm-hmm. No, sharks aren't smart. If you want to make something smart, you want to make a soldier, you make an octopus as a soldier. Okay? Actually, no, don't do that. You don't want anything that's smart. You made them smart. That's your mistake. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is your mistake. Mistake number two, you made them unkillable. Why? 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 Okay, they're not zombies. All right? You want to make something unkillable, you make them into zombies. Okay, you shoot them a couple of times, they keep coming up, you shoot them in the head, they're dead. Okay, cool. There's like no type of weakness that you gave these things. You always have to have a weakness. You didn't give them, that was your fault. Okay? And then your only recourse is to shoot them off into the moon? How many are you trying to get into the rocket ship here? And like, they took all of them. I'm like, how? There had to be some left over.
Yeah.
Speaking as a writer, like, so half the population of these sharks went into the, like, all the population of the sharks went into the vessel with you? No. That's red flag number two, number three. Mm-mm. Because you know some of them had to stay behind. Because I'm going to be like, you know, smart now. I'm like, I'm not going to that rocket ship. They might be blowing this all up or something. No, I'm going to go to the ocean.
Right.
Okay. And then, you know, they get there and then you have the Americans 20 odd years later going up into the moon. And then you have this one character that's supposed to be like a Captain America type deal. Spent way too long on him.
Right.
I'm like, you're supposed to be a side character or something. Are you the main character? Are you the side? What's going on with you? It's like they couldn't figure out what they wanted to do with him.
There was just too much dialogue.
Yes, it was. And I'm like, y'all supposed to be going up into the moon, okay? Go up to the moon. Just don't wait for your dude. You don't need him. Mm-hmm. Just go. You already have enough team members. No, they had to wait for this Captain America type dude who's actually, the more I think about it, he was supposed to be like, you know, Johnny Storm with his attitude. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so what's going on? They get to the moon and then fuckery happens. Okay, fuckery. You telling me these sharks are like thriving on the other side of the moon with limited DNA? At some point, if you have limited DNA, there's gonna some stuff's gonna happen. Okay, even my sister was like, if you're going to have that limited amount of DNA right there, you know you're going to have stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're going to have like intellectual deficiencies. You're going to have, you know,
inbreeding is a thing.
Yeah. Inbreeding is a thing. Okay. King Charles III of Spain. All right. Okay. If y'all don't know that, you need to look that up. Okay. The Whitaker family. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been up there, what, 40 years since the 80s. You can't get diverse DNA. Okay. You can't. At all. And how do you have all this technology?
Right?
Up in the moon.
Right?
All right?
And it was technology that didn't exist in the Cold War era. Mm.
And the only Russian side, because there was two Russian scientists on that aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
One survived. And then he makes his contraption to breathe in the atmosphere, to breathe on the Earth, on the moon. That was, see, you're getting too far into, like, I got too far into the movie, okay? That started, like, pointing out stuff. I'm like,
There was too much that was unrealistic that, like, I'm not going to lie. Had I not been watching this for the episode, I probably would have stopped it, like, 15 minutes in and been like, what the fuck were you trying to make me watch? I am not wasting any of my brain cells on this.
I mean,
it would have lost me way early on. But I won't lie. There were parts later on that I was like, okay, this is kind of funny. Like, the lady sharks remind me of, in Futurama, the Amazon ladies who are like, death by snoo-snoo. Like, that's what they reminded me of.
Really? Because I'm like sitting there looking at the ladies, looking at some of the female sharks. I'm like, why is your arms like twigs? Why do you have girly arms?
Yeah, but like, if you made their arms muscular, they were the death by snoo snoo ladies.
Yeah, if you made them muscular, for future, like if you made their arms proportional to their body, then yeah, I'd be like, oh, it's death by snoo snoo. But now I'm like, why is your arm so thin? I could break it. Like, if we got into a fight or a tussle, I'll be winning. You have the jaws, but I could break your arm.
Yeah. I don't know. I just,
like, it.
There was, like, one scene, and you could see, like, the two walking together, and I was like, death by snow, snow. I couldn't help it. Like, that was, like, the first thing that came to mind.
Death by snow, snow. Yeah, but it was, like, too much dialogue, not enough going on. I was like,
yeah. And, like,
stop talking.
And it was pointless dialogue. Like, it was rehashing same things over and over and over again. And just like, I don't know. I feel like they didn't do a great job in editing. Like,
yeah, they probably could.
You didn't have to start off the film with like how they got to, you could have just sent the Americans. And then, you know, while the Russian scientist was trying to explain what happened. Show the flashback. Okay, great. Like, yeah, no. Mm-mm. Let's talk about the unforgivable, horribly bad CGI of this film. Because, sweet mother of God, it was horrible. Especially for a film that came out in 2020.
So you can tell where they spent most of their money for the CGI because it looked really good. And then you look at the other portion of the movie and you're like, what happened? Did you run out of budget?
Mm-hmm.
Because... yeah, like when they did close-ups of the sharks, oh, they were beautiful. Like you could tell, like they took some time with the sharks when they did close-ups of them. But when you did far away shots, you're like, oh,
it was like they had an intern, an unpaid intern, do those,
right? I was like,
an unpaid intern who just learned how to do CGI. Like I'm pretty sure my niece could do a better job.
I'm pretty sure
she's seven.
I'm pretty sure I can do it, but I don't even know how to do it. You give me the tools, I figure it out. But I was like,
right?
Like the first scene, the first CGI scene, you're like, this is really nice. This is nice. Like the spaceship and everything going, blown off. And then you get to the moon and you're like, wait a minute. What happened?
What sort of fuckery is this?
Like, what did y'all do? Where did your budget go? I mean,
yep.
You can see the dichotomy of where they put their money at for the CGI. I was like,
very much so.
It was so bad. Like, even the CGI fucking whale sharks, I was like, what the fuck?
Right?
What are y'all doing? That is so bad. What?
It's so disrespectful to sharks. Because, like, I love sharks. I think sharks are amazing. They are incredible creatures. And this movie was an insult to them. To all of them.
Even the ugly goblin shark. It was an insult to the ugly
goblin shark. I love goblin sharks. They're so ugly, they're cute. they're ugly cute. Yeah. So obviously this is an extremely low budget film. And we obviously can see that it did affect the film. What do you think was the worst part of how the low budget affected it? Was it the visuals? Was it the special effects? Was it the slow motion fake gravity moonwalks that apparently highlight the fact that they're on the moon? How did you pick your poison?
Okay, so first off, the CGI killed it for me. I mean, it was that bad that I was like, ugh. So some of the practical effects, I was like, that could have been done better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have this whole space, okay? Where's your other set pieces? You could fill the space with set pieces to make it look expansive, but it's so bare and flat. Like, they're walking on the moon. And I'm like, where's the other craters? Where's this? Where's that? Why is it flat? Is this, there should be rocks somewhere? They didn't have to do the whole slow walking. They could have just walked normally. Okay. I've been like, oh, I know you're on the moon. Okay. You don't have to sit there and be bouncing. If they were bouncing around walking, I mean, I've been cool with that. Okay. Because there's no gravity. So they're bouncing around. No, they're doing the slow whole motion moving. No, have me bouncing, jumping a little bit. It's like, we're on the moon. Yeah. That'll be me as a kid, as a person. Like, I'm doing like, look at me.
Moon shoes.
I'll be bouncing. My ass will be bouncing around, not walking. Okay.
Right.
I'll be bouncing because I'm like, this is faster. Bounce, bounce, bounce.
Mm-hmm.
The technology that they were using. Where did your technology come from, sir? Mr. Yo. Soviet scientist? Where? Where did you get all this stuff?
Did Amazon deliver it to you? Like, what the fuck?
Like, I know you had to scrounge through your spaceship, okay? But you had to have more stuff than this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Did you shoot down a satellite? Is that what you did? Okay. Explain that to me.
Right.
Because I'm like, they had more stuff, more technology than the resources that they had. That
because they just had the one ship.
Yes.
Or at least they only told us they only had the one ship. Yeah. No. This low budget film. This extremely low budget film. It had so many parts of it that you could tell made it low budget that I can't even tell you what was the worst part.
Like, I've seen better low budget films.
Absolutely horrendous. Yeah.
I've seen low budget films that have like very little money, but it's like, damn, they actually stretched out their money for this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like,
they didn't waste a shot. They didn't waste a special effect. It was good. But this one, you had like how much?
They wasted everything. Like, I don't think there was one thing that they spent a dollar on that was well used. And I hate saying that, but I truly do believe that. Like, that fake gravity moonwalking bit. Fuck me. Come on. Like, My 7-year-old niece could fake moonwalk better than that. And you are grown ass adults. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I there's so much about this movie that I'm like, what? No, okay. I have questions. How high were you when you were making this film? I need to know. Was it like a Kool-Aid situation where like everybody was taking the same stuff? Like, I need to know how this went through multiple people with like a, yes, this is all approved. We did everything. No.
Yeah.
No. Like, who greenlit some of the CGI? Who greenlit that stupid moonwalking. Who greenlit giving birth to baby sharks while wearing a wetsuit?
Yes!
Right? Right? Like,
and the fact that she instantaneously became pregnant as soon as she entered like the Earth's atmosphere, I was like, what? How did you get pregnant so instantaneously? It was like, bam. What?
Immaculate conception. Like, the things that got greenlit for this film boggle my mind. You've obviously talked about some of the practical effects, like the lack of rocks on the moon. You have items like the flare gun, which was like a prop pistol wrapped in cardboard, or the engineer wearing an iPod earbud for his communications device. All of this has been called out by critics, but did you catch any other moments like that? That did they add or distract from the experience of this film? For me, I feel like all of them detracted, but
everything, like, I try to like say, this is a movie, Karen, just keep watching. Like, I was like, okay, I know I can make a better gun than what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that's a flare gun with cardboard on it, but you could take some EVA foam and carve out a gun, a futuristic gun at that.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen it, done it. My brother's drew it before. I've seen people make it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Earpieces, it doesn't have to be an iPod, you know, earbud. There are other earpieces out there that looks futuristic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have some. Doesn't look like an iPod earbud. All right. The set pieces they could have used that could have filled the space, make it look a little bit more futuristic or realistic, but you had like so much empty spots. I'm like, you could have filled it with another communication station. You could have filled it with a computer station. You could have done this.
Mm-hmm.
The moonwalk itself, I was like, come on, man. Where are y'all walking to?
Where's the self-respect?
Like, I'm expecting, you know, craters and dips and rocks and stuff. I'm expecting all that for the moon. But I know it's like the dark side of the moon because you don't never see the dark side of the moon. But then again, if the moon rotates like the Earth, you're not going to see a dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole Russian astronaut's home. I'm like, what's going on in your house, man?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get all this random shit? Was it in the spaceship with you when you came?
Right.
You made yourself a little home here. How did you eat?
Yo.
What did you eat?
Right.
How did you drink water? What?
Yeah.
I need explanations on all of this. Like, I need to know why you made this out of this. Like, you could have just, I know I could give my nieces a task. Like, come up with with something using this pieces and then show it to me. And they will come up with a better job than I saw in that movie.
Yeah.
Because every time I saw something funky, I'd pause it, step back, and say, Cameron, we cannot watch this anymore. But then again, I was talking to my sister-in-law, and we were making fun of it. Because she was like, number one, those type of walking, that's not realistic. Number two, what are they doing right there? No. And she kept pointing out, like, how did he survive all these years without food or water?
Right? There's too many questions.
Too many questions.
Too many questions. I'm glad I'm not the only one who had those questions, though. Like, the props, half of them, I was like, okay, that doesn't look half bad. But then, like, the props that, like, really stood out, you're sitting there and you're looking at it going, what fuckery is this?
Star Trek props are better. They could have just used Star Trek props.
Adam West Batman props were better. Like, Monty Python props were better. I can think of high school productions of things have better props. Like, what the fuck? Like, where did your money go? Like, how did you, like, iPhone earbuds? Really? Like, you used that? You couldn't have made it look a little different? I mean, hell, at least Doctor Who with BBC money, and not Disney money, BBC money,
mm-hmm.
had better earpod type things than that. Like, Come on. Seriously? Like, I just... too many inconsistencies with it. So this was made by Asylum. And they tend to attract actors who know exactly what kind of movie they're making. Do you think the cast was in on the joke that is this movie? Or do you think that they actually were, like, giving a shit and actually, like, playing it straight?
No, they didn't give a shit. Because I've seen some of the resumes and I'm like, oh, some of y'all did sci-fi movies. Okay. You did sci-fi movies. Sci-fi movies for the channel. So you knew what you were getting into.
Okay.
Like, I mean, you cannot tell me you read the script and you don't take it seriously. You cannot. If you read that script, would you take it seriously?
No.
So you knew what you were getting into when they asked you and you read the script and you'd be like, okay, it's going to be a comedy. It's going to be a horror comedy, even though it's supposed to be horror, but it's not.
But like, even like Tessarina, who is kind of like their like Bond villain persona, like for this movie, like, do you think that she kind of took it a little seriously?
I mean, as a villain, you tend to take it a little bit seriously. I mean, I think most people who play villains, they either go to the serious side or the campy side in any movie that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But for something like this, I could see, you know, that voice actress, you know, being serious or try to be serious. Because after I read the script, I'd be like, how can I make this enjoyable for myself?
Right.
For me,
the biggest thing.
For me, if I'm going to be the villain, I'm going to be the best damn villain I can be. Okay. If it makes me feel, you know, if I can feel enjoyable, this movie can make me feel enjoyable, I'm going to be the villain. And I'm going to be the best damn villain I can be.
Mm-hmm.
But for everybody else, I'm like, you didn't really have to have a Johnny Storm type character. You didn't have to have, like, you know, the commander be like, you know, God, he played, what's that character from Stargate?
I think I know who you're talking about. Crap, I don't remember. Are you going to look it up?
Yeah, because it's bugging me now. Okay, Jack O'Neill, I had that Jack O'Neill vibe from her.
Yeah.
You know, like Richard Dean Anderson's character from Stargate SG-1.
Yeah.
That's what I felt from her. I'm like, you're not, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just keep rolling. Keep rolling. And then you have the little girl, the gay birth.
Mm-hmm.
She's the mysterious girl. That mysterious girl, the stereotype trope.
Yeah. There's a part of me that hopes that the cast was in on the joke and took it as this is supposed to be a extremely goofy, campy bullshit of a movie. But there were moments when I was watching where I'm like, I think this person's trying to actually give like an award-winning performance. And I questioned a lot of things when I watched this, my life, all sorts of things. But there were a few scenes where I'm like, please tell me that this person is not truly trying to act their heart out in this moment. Like, I don't think I could do it. Was there anybody, though, that like, by the end of the film, you actually did genuinely kind of care about and want to succeeded?
No. I'm going to tell you right
now. I'm not the only one.
I was like,
I'm not the only one.
I was like, I want you to die. I want you to die. Maybe you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even like, you know, I'm sorry, the guy who played, you know, the Johnny Storm type character, Michael, what's the character name? Michael?
Yeah, I think
so. I was like, I want you to die too. I was like, I don't like you either.
Honestly, like, maybe the redhead.
Yeah.
The redheaded chick. I think she was the only, like, redeeming character. Because everybody else, like, I was just like, you got yourself there. You're the reason you're in the position that you are in. I have no sympathy for you. But the redheaded chick, I was just kind of like, she kind of got dragged on this. She wasn't supposed to be a space warrior. She was literally a scientist that got like, hey, you got to figure out how to make resources on the moon. And she's like, okay. And then literally got dragged around through everything.
Yeah. I mean, she was like the only redeemable character I saw, because she was like, I just want to stay on the ship, mammy. My mission is to do this,
mm-hmm.
not do that.
Exactly. And I think she was the only one who consistently made like wise decisions or try to make wise decisions.
You always have that one character. It's like, listen, we need to be smart about what the fuck you're doing. Where are you going? Oh my God, we're going to die.
Exactly. Exactly. She was the one character. Looking at the whole scheme of everything, I do kind of feel sorry for like the space daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, again, kind of like the redhead, she didn't ask for any of this.
She didn't ask to be born.
Yeah. She was just brought into the fuckery. But at the same time, she was kind of an asshole the entire time. Where I'm just like, I guess this is how you act when you're raised on the moon.
With no other people around and stuff like that.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and answer this question. Because I feel like this is the question of this movie. Is Shark Side of the Moon actually a horror movie? Or is it a sci-fi comedy that wanders / skirts horror territory by accident?
It wandered into horror by accident. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it was supposed to be a sci-fi comedy, but somehow, some way, it wandered into horror territory. Like, you know, it got lost along the way and then somehow found itself into horror territory. And it kind of stayed there because it's like, it's more fun over here. No, you need to go back to where you came from, sir. Ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a sci-fi comedy that had a very late sprinkling of horror, in my opinion. It's kind of like a LaCroix of horror. It's got the you cut up some fruit in the same room as the LaCroix, like soda water. You cut up fruit in the same room as it. And that's kind of how I feel Shark Side of the Moon is. It's definitely sci-fi. It's very campy. And there are like very light, faint hints of horror that it has. I would probably still put it in like the whole sharksploitation, whatever, simply because I don't think there's any place else for it to go, if that's fair.
Yeah.
Shock horror, obviously, is kind of like its own subgenre, you know, going all the way back to Jaws and like how it kind of started shark horror or sharksploitation, whatever you want to call it. How do you think this movie contributed or detracted from that subgenre? And where does this film kind of sit in the shark horror canon?
I mean,
even it, ironically,
it's a shark exploitation movie. I mean, in on itself, because it has, even though it has sprinkling of horror, it's still a shark horror movie.
Yeah,
just like Ghost Shark, Land Shark, Sand Shark, Ice Shark, whatever all the sharks movies there is,
mm-hmm.
still in that. I hate to say it, still in that whole category. And does it lend itself readily to that subgenre? Yeah. Do I want it to be in that subgenre? No. But here we are with a shark movie, and it's in the subgenre. I mean, I've seen horrible shark movies.
Oh, yeah.
But I like those shark movies. I just can't like this one. I've tried. I really tried. So, yeah, it is a shark exploitation movie. It is. And it's there. Doing its own little thing. It's kind of like Sharknado. Like, I'm glad they only made one movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Sharknado is good on itself because it knew what it was.
Yeah.
From the get-go. And they made, like, 85 million movies of that one. Not really 85 movies, but you know, they have like seven movies that have varying levels of entertainment. Shark Side of the Moon had good promise.
Very good promise.
And then it didn't.
And yes, then it didn't. This film, like I said, it definitely lends to sharksploitation. It is definitely a shark horror film. And it's simply because there isn't another genre for it to be part of. It does lean heavily into the camp, like Sharknado. I mean, hell, even Ghost Shark, which we talked about before. Like, it's one of those, like, goofy, stupid shark movies. And you're just like, ugh, okay. Do I think it adds to the shark horror legacy like Jaws? Fuck no. But it does cover the spectrum that shark horror movies are. And it is in the, it's a bad movie, but somebody's going to find it entertaining.
Yeah.
How do you think it really does compare, though, to movies like The Meg, Sharknado, Ghost Shark? We're not going to compare it to Jaws because I feel like that's an insult to Jaws. But the slew of other low-budget, absurd shark movies.
I mean, it's an absurd shark movie in and of itself. But to compare it to other shark movies is, I would rather watch Sharknado in all of its sequels back to back. And I don't like Sharknado. I really don't. It's entertaining, but I don't. But I'd rather watch Sharknado back to back than rewatch this again. And I realized I watched it like 3 times already.
Ugh. That's.
I mean, it deserves its place in the whole. But I think it should get like a little mention. I enjoyed The Meg.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
Deep Blue. The Meg wasn't half bad.
I enjoyed Deep Blue Sea with Samuel L. Jackson, even though he died like a bitch.
He did die like a bitch.
I enjoyed other shark movies. Hell, even though this is not a shark movie, but there was a shark fight between a zombie and a shark in the movie Zombies.
Yeah.
Okay. That was more entertaining than this. That little 3-5 minute segment.
Yeah.
Was more entertaining than an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. It does sit in the shark canon, shark horror canon, mm-hmm. but it does not compare favorably well to the other shark movies.
No, it does not. I don't think it's fair to compare it to the other shark movies, despite the fact that I'm the one who came up with this question. And it's only because I feel like it does sit so low that it's just not fair. Like, The Meg was well done. Like, The Meg, you could put in, I wouldn't say you can compare it to Jaws, but you can put it kind of like in that, like, realm. But, you know, the multiple Sharknado films, that sits with Shark Side of the Moon. For sure. This would be a great film for Mystery Science Theater to do. This would be like right up their alley. Sit there and you can just make fun of it the entire fucking time. Yeah. Obviously, because it does have watches, there is a whole audience that actively seeks out movies like this. The crowd that thinks that it's so bad, it's good, which I beg to differ. What do you think that says about what we need from horror and the genre, subgenre, when it comes to like entertainment sometimes?
I mean, I have a group of friends that love to watch absurdly bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they love this movie because it's so bad. Like, they love this movie. And I think it's because it makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them laugh because it's so bad, it's so good. Because, you know, sometimes you just have a bad day, you know?
Yeah.
And we want something to make you feel better. And I think that's kind of like this. Instead of eating ice cream or cheesecake or anything like stress eating that makes you feel good, they probably put on a bad movie that makes them feel good, you know?
Yeah.
So there is a need for it's so bad that it's good. Like I said, I have this movie that it's so bad that it's good. And it's so good that it's bad. And it's called The Dead Hate the Living. I mean.
Yep. Yep.
If no one has watched it, and maybe it's not for you, okay? Just like if you want to watch Sharknado, Shark Side of the Moon, you know what you're going to get into because you're listening to this episode. But
yeah,
some people need that. It's so bad that it's good in their life because it makes them feel good because it's so hilarious. The movie is so redonkulous that it was even greenlighted to be made. And I think that's their thought processes of it.
I question how it got made. I truly do. I sit there and I go, how, what, like, what made you go, yes, we need to make this film? Like, I really don't understand. I get, it's kind of like other movies that are part of the Mystery Science Theater thing. You watch it and you go, this is so bad. What, how did this get made? And I give props to anybody who can sit through movies like that. Because are there movies that I'm like, oh yeah, no, I know that this is a bad movie, but I kind of find it entertaining. It makes me chuckle. Yeah, sure. But like to actively seek out bad movies. Makes me wonder. Makes me wonder.
Hey, I have one friend who is a tech of bad movies. Like if you give him a premise and he will find you.
Oh.
He's, I know it's made and I will find it for you. Okay. One of our friends is sidetracked. Like this guy loves bad movies and he will find movies to watch and he's a detective. Like,
do I want to know who it is?
No, I'm going to tell you the story though.
Okay.
He said, my bouncer says, like, you know what? There's no albino porn movies at all, ever, anywhere. And my friend who loves bad movies took it as a challenge. He said, bet, motherfucking bet. It took some years, but he found an albino midget porn for our albino friend. He found it. So when I say this man will go to extreme depths to find and watch bad movies, is there something about them that it makes, that tickles him to death?
You know what? At least he finds joy in it.
Yeah. And then he unleashes it out into the world. He's like, hey, no, you know what? You want to watch this movie. I'm going to tell you the premise. It's good. And the premise sounds good. And then you watch it. And you're like, the fuck?
Like, what did you make me watch? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think everything has to be intellectual. I don't think everything needs to be top tier, whatever. But I feel like there needs to be a good, solid effort made. And I feel like that wasn't... I don't feel like everybody was doing that with this one. Surprisingly, though, this film did score kind of high on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience scored it at a 70%, despite the critical demolition of this, which I kind of agree with the critics. What do you think that gap between the critics and the audience says about this intentionally campy horror?
Okay, so critics are critics for a reason. They're looking for particular things in a movie. They're not enjoying the movie as a whole because that's not their job. Their job is to give you facts and stuff, and partially their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say that there's a group of people that love this movie is so bad, it's so good, I can see where that 70% came from. I really can.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there of bad movies. I mean, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
If it's for an episode.
Same.
That we have to do.
Same.
But will I go willingly out into the dark wilderness to watch it by myself? No. Now, if I'm going to inflict that same pain onto somebody else, yeah. Because I had to watch it. Now you have to watch it.
Yeah.
And I do that to my sister-in-law all the time.
Your poor sister-in-law.
I mean, we watched The Creeping Terror.
She's a saint.
She is.
She's a saint.
We watched The Creeping Terror together, and she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We watched Hark Slide of the Moon, and she was like, that is scientifically inaccurate. I'm like, yeah. That's why I like watching movies with you. Of course, we can't watch bug movies, like cockroach movies, because, you know, even though we both hate cockroaches, she cannot stand watching them in the movie. I can, because guess what? It's behind a screen.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them either.
Now, if it came out of the screen, that's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's fair.
But yeah, there's a whole group of people that love bad movies, that it's so bad that it's good. It's so good that they hate that they like it.
Bless their hearts.
Because you have to have somebody like that, you know?
Yeah, get that. You gotta, you know, they got, there has to be a little bit of something. I mean, whatever strokes your goat. If this is your film, this is your film. If this is something that like tickles you, it tickles you. And not everything is everybody's cup of tea, and that's perfectly okay. Yeah, this one just isn't mine. And the people who like it, I'm glad that they like it. More power to them. But yeah, it could not be me. Could not be me. So in horror, and even in some adventure stuff, the Cold War paranoia has always kind of had a rich hold on those genres. From The Thing to Stranger Things, you have Shark Side of the Moon. How do you feel like they tapped into that like Cold War paranoia? And do you think they did it well, or do you think it was just purely stereotypical absurdist?
It was stereotypical. Okay, they had to have a plot point of, you know, trying to reason why they created these shark soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're in a war with America, so what if you go into actual war? Why not we create these soldiers? Okay, oh, now these soldiers turn against us. It was basically a plot point for me. It didn't really hold up that much. Like, even when they went into space, like the Russian scientist, he was a little bit too eager to help out the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I'm still thinking we're in a Cold War, okay? Not only do I have to fight off these sharks, now I have to fight off these Americans?
Yeah.
Fuck my life, you know? That's gonna be my thinking, because I don't even know what happened. My whole mentality is still, we're still in the Cold War. But no, that whole logic went out the door.
His first thought was, surprise, Americans are the ones who are coming up to save me, but I'm glad somebody's here to save me. And it's like, home skillet, we don't even know who you are. We didn't even know you were here.
Yeah, like, who would know you were there except for the Russian scientist? See, I'm not thinking that, you know, the Russians are coming to save me, because I know they're going to try to keep it, you know, top secret. But at the same time, I see Americans coming, and I'm like, oh, shit, we have Americans on one side, and I have the sharks on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, I'm going to try to survive for myself.
Yeah.
While fighting two enemies at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been an interesting story right there.
Yeah.
You still have that, you know, Cold War mentality. You see Americans on the moon with you and your shark people that you're trying to, you know, survive from. Oh, yeah. That would have been a whole another story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. That, I think that would have actually been a slightly better story than what they went with. It's one of these deals of, like, again, it's the execution of it. Was it a neat idea? Yeah, it could work. But, like, how it was executed just fell flat, like, the entire time. Like, it was absurd, but not in, like, a fun way. And kind of like a, you guys failed history, didn't you? Like, I don't know. Like, nothing about it worked for me. Like, reading the plot, I was like, oh, okay, that could be kind of cool. That could work. They just didn't execute it in a way that I kind of liked. If you could make this film better, what would you have done?
Okay, so when I hear Shark Side of the Moon, I was thinking more of a were-shark. Like, the scientists were creating... Mm-hmm. They were creating soldiers. But instead of, like, going to the moon, I would have, like, a few loose that got loose. Okay. Kind of like dog soldiers, you know?
Okay.
They got loose. And so now you have to, like, you know, as you know, I would have kept a fully Russian.
Okay.
Them hunting down these sharks. And if the sharks actually get into the ocean, they're going to try to keep as quiet as possible. You have shark hunters and everything. And because mm-hmm. they could transform, they're out in the living, out in the open. And now you realize they're breeding with humans.
Yeah.
But if we're supposed to keep the same storyline, for one thing, all the non-aggressive sharks wouldn't be up in the moon because they're not aggressive.
Yeah.
Like the whole whale shark, nah, not going to be there. Nursing shark's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. All the aggressive sharks that you're going to use as soldiers, yeah, I'll be up there. They'll be up there creating armies and whatnot. I will probably have like more diversity. Or something. Okay. Make them live longer. Hell, because like I said, they didn't have that many diversity up there.
Yeah.
Mm. Make them proportional. You know, make their arms proportional to the body. use more practical effects so I could save that budget for something that might come later.
Mm-hmm.
You could make a really good practical effect of using, you know, a regular model spaceship or a rocket and see it blast off. Like they did it in Star Wars, man. They used models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they could do it, you could do it. Save that money for something that you might have to, like, you know, use later on. Mm-hmm. I would have, like, introduced, like, the whole, you know, I wouldn't have done the intro first. I would have had Americans go up there and then show the intro. Mm-hmm. Like, they stumbled upon, you know, the sharks and the dude.
Yeah.
Or they stumbled upon the dude and the shark. I don't know how that would happen. I have to reread the whole thing and then rewrite it. But instead of having the dude like, oh, yeah, I'm being rescued. No, the dude's going to be paranoid as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have the American point of view, the Russian point of view, and the shark's point of view.
Yeah.
Will I have the girl come back to, you know, the Earth with me? No. Well, probably. But at the same time, why is she giving birth in a wetsuit? Where's the baby's coming out of?
Right.
She's still in a wetsuit. Okay.
Exactly.
And also, even though she's giving birth, you have to realize you are in the ocean. You're going to have to become the monster, Captain. You're going to have to kill those babies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I would have made that split decision. Now you have these shark babies out of them, that whole totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm about to give birth. No, you're not. Click.
Yeah.
I'm not I'm not having these shark babies all up in my earth. We already have octopus that are smart, okay? I don't need sharks that can think for themselves. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh, so here's what I would have done to make it better. First of all, they had too many scenes, too many places to film.
Oh yeah.
Cut that in half. Make one space station. Have everything out of that one space station. You know, they had too much other things. I think they also had too much CGI.
Oh yeah.
Cut some of that out. Instead of kind of like what you said about, like, you know, the aggressive sharks and the non-aggressive sharks. Instead of having 20 different variety of sharks, have only a couple. Because why would they make a whale shark?
How would they make a whale shark? I'm like, how? Because if I remember correctly, only a certain amount of sharks came up there.
Yeah. But it's one of those deals of, like, why would you do a whale shark? That doesn't make sense.
Because it's impressive looking.
But it doesn't go with the plot of the story. It's supposed to be a soldier. Why would you have a non-aggressive species, a soldier? Doesn't make sense. So, great whites, makes sense. Bull sharks, makes sense. Tiger sharks, makes sense.
Hammerheads.
I'll give you hammerheads. I'll give you makos. Outside of that, you don't need any more. You don't. Bull sharks and tiger sharks look pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
You really just need to make sure that you do the coloring right.
Oh, yeah.
Great whites have a very distinctive look. Hammerheads have a very distinctive look. Makos have a very distinctive look. You can have all of that so it looks like there's a good variety without overdoing it. And then you can limit your CGI usage by having fewer species.
Oh, yeah.
Of the shark. Yeah.
Oh,
that I would have cut the amount of locations, cut the number of species, and, like, I actually probably would have done more practical effects.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know? Now, to kind of go off of this, what would be your Cold War animal turned horror experiment be that isn't a shark?
I would probably use something that is native to Russia, and that would probably be the bear.
Okay.
Because
I was thinking tigers.
That too. But I'll probably do a bear, making them into, like, because you already have this bear species there on land.
Mm-hmm.
I won't have to need water. But I'll also make them killable, not unkillable.
Okay.
Because they need to have a weakness.
Because you, as the creator, need to be able to control them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be like, you know, in Raccoon City. Oh, shit, it's got loose again. What? Damn it. So I need to be able to control said creature being, and I need to be able to take it down by myself. So they have to have, like, a kill switch.
That's her.
So for me, I will probably use the bear because of the fact that they're massive, they're trainable, And if you want to give them intelligence and make them sentient beings, make sure you give them a kill switch.
Right? Yeah, I was thinking more like a tiger. I feel like a tiger would have been like a better thing. Part of it is because they have like the natural camouflage of being, you know, for like the soldier aspect of it. Plus they're cunning, they're agile, they're strong, and it would make sense with Cold War. Apparently there's a sequel to this, or there's supposed to be a sequel to this.
Why?
That's exactly what I said. What would make it watchable for you?
I mean, if they're going to make a sequel to this, I guess you're going to have to make a sequel since the babies are now loose in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I guess on the flip side, if the Russians are making super soldiers with sharks, I'll probably like have the Americans have their own aquatic soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably use like, you know, octopus.
Okay.
Because for me, octopus are very smart and intelligent, and they can learn. Mm-hmm. They know how to get out of situations, and their tentacles are very, very strong. And if it'd be weird to look at, like, you know, a human-formed octopus, it just looked like, you know, one of those Lich Kings or something like that. You know, this Lich...
A Dalek.
It looked like a Cthulhu.
A Dalek.
Yeah, it looked like a... yeah, it looked like a Cthulhu, really. If you make them human form and they have the little tentacles, they look like Cthulhu. you know how horrifying that will be? You have eldritch gods walking around.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be afraid it, you know? But they'll be intelligent enough to take out the sharks. It's mm-hmm. like, you made them unkillable, but we know how to kill them. But on the flip side, you made these octopus more sentient than they should be. Now they're going to try to take over the world.
And they would succeed. I do feel like octopus would succeed. I think, in order to make it watchable, it would have to be based off of the babies. But I don't know what you could do with the babies to make it watchable. But that's like the only storyline I could see you doing to get it to the point where it's watchable. But let's go ahead and wrap this up because... Oh, dear God.
One skull, goddammit.
All right. So final thoughts. And we do skull ratings here. If this is your very first episode, we do 1 through 5. 1 because at least somebody tried while making the film. 5 because it's just fan-fucking-tastic. So Karen, where do you sit on our skull ratings? And what are your final thoughts on this thing?
1, goddammit. 1. And they shouldn't make a part 2. At all.
Okay.
I already watched the first one. Not going to watch the first one again.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was forced upon me at some sort of party. And heaven forbid, they do that to me. Because the Gemini will come out. And hands will be thrown. That's all I'm saying.
And that's fair. Absolutely fair. I'm going to give it a 1.5. And the 0.5 is only because the plot actually isn't bad. It's just their execution was that bad.
There was too many points, too.
Yeah. I wish it could have been good. I wish it was it's so bad, it's good. But unfortunately, it is not. But our fellow horrorholics, would you survive on the shark side of the moon? Would this work for you? Yeah, you're going to have to let us know. But Karen, where can they find you? To thank you for making us talk about this film.
And you're welcome. Y'all can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, and Reddit.
And I am Spill Tea. You can find me on all the things at Spill Tea Wine Media Mind, including Twitch. Thank you so much for blasting off onto the dark side of the moon with us tonight as we talk about Shark Side of the Moon. It is definitely proof that sometimes horror does not need a big budget. A coherent plot, or the laws of physics, or anything, really. It just needs to have sharks in space and fighting astronauts. No, it needs a whole lot more. But we do have the best listeners. We think you, our fellow horrorholics, are absolutely amazing. And we are so grateful for every single one of you. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, rate, and share the podcast. It helps fellow horrorholics find us, and we love gathering more and more friends. We want to hear from you, though, so drop it in the comments, slide into our DMs, email us at earthstationboo@gmail.com. You can come join the conversation on our Discord, find all of our links at linktree.com/earthstationboo. And don't forget our merch store. We got some really cool stuff. I'm about to go toss on my cropped hoodie, says Horrorholic, because it is soft and cozy and the dryer just finished drying it. So I'm excited to go put it on. New episodes every Tuesday and movie nights, Sundays at 8 p.m. in the Discord. So stay weird and stay spooky, our fellow Horrorholics.
That's a wrap for Earth Station Boo. Thanks for listening. Follow, share, and find all our links in our link tree. Until next time, stay spooky.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.